Luke 24, verse 49 begins our scriptural journey. Behold, I send the promise of my Father, Jesus says, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last, and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter is come. O boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wondering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine? The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes an overflowing fullness of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to tell you a little something that's kind of humorous, but it impacted me the other morning. I've had 6 funerals in the last 3 weeks that I've been involved in, either preaching or been heavily involved in the family, trying to minister to the family. And it's been a very tough time emotionally for me, because these are dear people that were important people in my life, and it takes something out of you. I'm sorry, it just does. And the other day I came in, and I told Helen, I said, you know what, hon? I said, I don't have it. I just feel like I've gone to the well one time too many. And I got up 3 o'clock this morning, my phone rang, and Kathy Carden's dad passed away. And we got another one this week. But you know, the other day I said, I just think I've gone to the well one time too many. You know what she said? God bless my wife. God bless her. You know what she said? She said, maybe your bucket's got a hole in it. We got a laugh out of that, but I want to tell you something. I sat there and the Holy Ghost came on me, and I said, there is no excuse for running out of water. Hallelujah. No excuse for running out of the Holy Ghost. Because it shall be in you a well springing up. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes a deepened reverence for God and an intensified consecration to God and dedication to his work. John 4 and 24. God is a spirit, and that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes a more active love for Christ, for his word, and for the lost. Mark chapter 16 verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. I've got some good news. You and I can't do it. We were not expected to do it. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But Paul came along and said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not in us. It is the one who lives in us and exercises his gifts and his love and his blessing through our lives. It is the power of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Ghost that these things are done. Can you say amen? With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a more active love for Christ and his word and his blessing upon our efforts to reach the lost. Amen. A.J. Gordon, an old patriarch of the faith, founder of Gordon Conwell Divinity School, told of being out walking one day, and he looked out across a field at a house. Now, there beside the house was what looked like a man pumping furiously at one of those hand pumps. As Gordon watched, the man continued to pump at a tremendous rate. He seemed absolutely tireless, pumping on and on, up and down, without ever slowing in the slightest, much less stopping. Truly, it was a remarkable sight. So Gordon started to walk toward it. But as he got closer, he could see that it was not a man at the pump, but a wooden figure painted to look like a man. The arm that was pumping so rapidly was hinged at the elbow, and the hand was wired to the pump handle, and the water was pouring forth, but not because the figure was pumping it. You see, it was an artesian well, and the water was pumping the man. Hallelujah! Glory to God. When you see a man who is at work for God producing results, recognize that it's a Holy Ghost in him, working through him. It's not man's efforts that is bringing the results, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. All you and I have to do is to keep our hand on the handle. Can somebody say amen? Just keep your hand on the handle. Let God do it through you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let me give you some New Testament references to the Holy Spirit's interaction with the spirit of man. John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Praise God. John 15 and 26. "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." If you go to church and you attend that church very long, and they do a lot of hooping and a hollering and shouting and a whole lot of other religious looking stuff, but you hadn't heard about Jesus, get out of that church as fast as you can and find some place. It may be a storefront somewhere, but find some place where the main thing is Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord. You've got to hear about Jesus. Jesus is what it's all about. Amen. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Hallelujah. Last thing Jesus said when he went back to the Father, said, "I'm going to send the..." I know Jesus made that. That's a kind of a long trip. You know? But I know he made it. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Comforter came. The Holy Ghost came. That tells me Jesus made it back to heaven all right. Says, "It's your turn to go down there now and take care of these yahoos." I'm glad the Holy Ghost came. I'm glad the Holy Ghost knows our limitations as well as Jesus knew the limit. Thank God for those 12 disciples. I rejoice because God put them in the book. Because you and I, just like them, always forgetting to take bread. Always wanting to be number one. Oh my. The Holy Ghost comes. And he doesn't look for perfect people. Somebody says, "No, I'm not good enough to receive the Holy Ghost." That's not the issue. That is not the issue. God does not wait till people get perfect to baptize them in the Holy Ghost. God takes you as you are, makes you something better. That's what he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where am I? Acts 13, verse 52. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Best advertisement a church can get is not on Cool 105.5. And by the way, I'm on there. And I try to advertise Jesus, but that's not, you know what the best advertisement this church can give this community is? To go out in this community full of the joy of the Lord and spread it around. Amen. Just take the joy to the streets. Romans 5 and 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 14, verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God interacts with us. The Holy Ghost lives inside of us. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Spirit of God comes in at the new birth. Thank God at conversion the Holy Ghost does come in. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is much, much more. It's subsequent to receiving. It may happen on the same day. It may happen moments after you've accepted Jesus. I've seen it happen. People get saved and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost almost at the same instance. I've seen it happen. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're a born-again believer, let me tell you this. That trumpet sounds, you're out of here. Amen. Don't go out of this church and look down your nose at your brother in the other churches that don't talk in tongues. Don't do that. And everybody said, don't do it. It's not good. It's not right. They'll go up with you, Pentecostal. If they know Jesus, if their sins are under the blood, we're going to go up together to meet them in the air. Amen. When we were pastoring in Ada, I went to Ada to pastor that little church. They had just gone through a horrible split. They had about 22 people the first Sunday we were there. They had a building payment of $1,300. That did not include a pastor's salary or utilities. 22 people to meet the payroll. I went there with the big idea that, you know, I'm a piano tuner. I'll just tune pianos on the side here in Ada. I got over there and found out there's 7 piano tuners in Ada. That's just my just my luck. You know, finally my ship comes in and I'm at the airport. Anybody ever done that? For 2 years, I burned the road up between Ada, Oklahoma, and Salisaw, and Tahlequah, and Stillwell, to northeastern Oklahoma, because that's where I knew people and I knew I could make, you know, living. So that's what I did. One day, I did land the job in Ada, believe it or not. I went to tune the piano there at this lady's house, and I promise you that her house, her den was twice the size of my house. It was the most humongous thing I've ever seen. And I was sitting there tuning this piano, you know, and it was an elderly lady, and I was just minding my own business, and she sneaks over there by me and stands but behind me there, and finally she says, Are you a pastor? And I said, yes, ma'am. Where are you, pastor? Wasn't a soul in the house but me and her. I said, I pastor Faith Assembly of God. Now I'm whispering, okay? I thought maybe the mafia was after us. She said, y'all talk in tongues there, don't you? I said, yes. She got even quieter and came even closer to my good ear. And she said, I go
to the big First Baptist church down on Main Drag. About half of our congregation talk in tongues too, but we don't tell anybody about it. Ooh. I said, good. Hallelujah.
Pentecost is not a denomination. It is an experience that all believers can have in God.
Hallelujah.
Teleco, we pastored. Hundreds of people received the baptism in the 8 years we were there. Hundreds of people came to that glorious experience. There was a little Church of Christ woman, precious Christian, precious believer, started coming, and I never did get a chance to shake hands with her. She would come and then she would leave before I get a chance to shake hands with her. And one day, instead of sitting on the back row, she was sitting about halfway down. And then the next thing I knew, a couple of Sundays, she was sitting a little closer. And the next thing I knew, she came to the altar and someone was praying with her. Still didn't get to talk to her. She left that day, and after I got home and was eating my lunch, my phone rang. And it was her. And she said, "Preacher, I need to ask you something." I said, "I went to the altar this morning. I don't know if you noticed, I went to the altar this morning." I said, "Yes, I did. I wished I could have got over and prayed with you." She said, "That's all right. But let me tell you what happened." She said, "On the way home, I got to praising the Lord." And said, "I don't know what in the world came over me." But she said, "I got to praising God and got to crying so hard I had to pull over. And I was on the side of the road, and I was just saying, 'God, I love you. Jesus, I love you.'" I said, "You know what? I just was praising God, and tears are just flowing." And she said, "Preacher, I don't understand this, but all of a sudden, I wasn't saying English anymore. It sounded kind of like baby talk." She said, "Preacher, is that all right?" I said, "You better believe that's all right." Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. This is not a denomination. It's an experience that all believers can have in God. Now let me give you some basics about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First of all, you need to admit or confess that you're thirsty. You need to confess your thirstiness. Psalm 63 verse 1. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. "As the deer or the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 84, verse number 2. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Be thirsty. Be hungry. Confess your thirst. "Lord, I want you. I want you, Lord. I want what you have for my life. I want to go all the way with you, Lord. I want more than what I... Lord, I've enjoyed my salvation, but God, there is this restlessness in my soul. I want what you... If this is for real, Lord..." You know what I've told people? There's a lot of people scared of this. And you know what? Let me just be dead honest with you. If I had not had any knowledge of Pentecost, and for the first time I went to a Pentecostal church, and I had seen some of the shenanigans pulled in the name of Pentecost that I have seen pulled over the years, I would never go back. You do not have to kiss your brains goodbye to get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be plumb stupid to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't blame some of this junk on the Holy Ghost. Blame it on your flesh. But the thing about it is, if it's the flesh, it offends. The Holy Ghost does not offend. He draws. Amen. We went to Resign Teleco when I preached my farewell sermon. There were so many Baptist people in there. I got up the pulpit to preach. And I said, "Man, if I'd have known this many people in this town loved me and was going to come hear me preach, I'd have resigned 7 years ago." They weren't offended. And you get the Holy Ghost and the love of Jesus in your heart, and you care about them instead of making a proselyte out of them. Are you with me? They'll respond to love and the power of the Holy Spirit. Good preaching, Brother Hatfield. I thought so too. Amen. Secondly, act in faith. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me. Come unto me. You know what? I got so hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know the church got tired of me. I know prayer warriors got tired of me. I know they did. Because I was there every time they turned around. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. Where's the revival? My brother received the Holy Spirit one night. I mean, here's my brother, you know, not even trying. Trying. Come on now, give me a break. Lord, I've rode the altars, God. I've done everything they said to do. They said, raise your hands, I'll raise my hand. They said, clap your hands, I clap my hand. They said, turn loose, I turn loose. They said, let go, I let go. They said, hold on, I held on. I didn't know whether it was up or down. Didn't know where to turn loose or let go. I didn't, hold on. I didn't know what, I'd done all this stuff they told me to do and how to receive the baptism. My brother goes up there and just raises his hands and receives the Holy Spirit and starts speaking in tongues. I went home mad. I don't know, but if you have never been raised with siblings, you've missed out on some exciting moments. We had some good fights at our house. My brothers were 9 years older. The ones I was raised with were 9 years older than me, but that didn't keep us from fighting. No, it did not. My brother wouldn't let me in the old Dodge that was parked out under the pear tree one day. He's listening to the radio, and I wanted to listen to Bobby Benson on KRHD in Duncan. Western program, that was my program. He wanted to listen to music. He was in there, had the doors locked. And I says to myself, he can't stay in there forever. He will come out at some point in time. And I will be prepared. No pun intended, there were pears all over the ground. I was prepared. I picked up a big old pear off the ground, about yay big. And when he came out, I looked at it and I said, oh Lord, bless what I'm about to do in Jesus' name. I took that pear and I threw it, and so help me, it hit him right behind the ear. I said, thank you, Jesus. But it was short-lived. Now, he was legally blind at that time. I knew if I could ever get away from him, I'd be fine, in good shape. I ran to the barn and hid in the bottom of a cabinet and closed the doors and didn't breathe for 15 minutes. I could hear him coming. It was like a raging bull. Had everything except the music, but it did sound like a bull charging. He came in there, and he opened the door of that cabinet and looked straight at me, but couldn't focus on me. Someone else would be delivering this sermon this morning if he had of. So that little background there to let you know that we did have fights. That night we got home from church, he just received the baptism. God has looked right over me in all my gallant efforts. And I'm in no mood. And we got into it. I can't remember what it was about. But anyway, after it was all over with, right at the end of the argument, I said, Jimmy, if you don't want that Holy Ghost God just gave you, you give him to me because I want him. The next service I went to, God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I was hungry. I was thirsty. Act in faith. Come unto me, Jesus says. You have to be willing to humble yourself. For some people, the hardest thing in the world to do is raise your hands. Everybody raise your hands right now. Is that hard? No, that isn't hard. But when you tell people to raise their hands when they're supposed to be seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get them up like that. It's so hard to raise your hands. But it's really not. It's not hard to raise your hands. For other people, it's other things. But you're thirsty. And if you are, you're going to come to Jesus. It's more than just coming to church. Coming to Jesus is more than just listening to a sermon or a song. It's more than just coming to the altar. Coming to Jesus demands our honesty about ourselves, our honesty about our sins, our honesty about our fears and apprehensions. You see, coming to church usually doesn't affect much of a change in us. Those who honestly come to Jesus are going to be in for some drastic changes. Yes, we are. Coming to Jesus to be filled with the Spirit may involve our willingness to give some things up. I've seen some people filled with the Holy Ghost as they became willing to give up something or someone. I have seen young people who were into bad relationships immediately filled with the Holy Ghost when they said, Lord, you mean more to me than him or her, this or that or the other. Lord, I'm hungry for you, God. I want you. And in that moment, you see, sometimes God does not ask us really to give up things. Sometimes God just wants to know, are you willing to give up anything? I'll fill you if you are willing. Amen. Thirdly, drink. Revelation 22, verse 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what? In order to drink, you have to open your mouth. Have you ever tried to drink any other way? You can't, unless you get a straw and suck it through your nose. I don't recommend that. You open your mouth to drink. Hey, amen. Think of it as taking a drink at Joel's place. Joel 2:28. Just open your mouth. Amen. Open your mouth and exhale praises. Inhale the life-giving refreshment of God's Spirit. Tune things out and tune Him in. And open your mouth and begin to love Jesus. Begin to love Him with your words, your vocabulary. Concentrate on drinking into the Spirit of Christ. Get rid of hindrances. There is a man, if I were to call his name, you would know his name. He is now the manager of a big Walmart store in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I remember over at 9th and Grand when he was hungry for the Holy Ghost. He had told me so. We come to the altar service and he was wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this guy was up there, you know, and he was raising his hands and doing a lot of good stuff. But he had chewing gum in his mouth. Now, I don't recommend this either all the time. But I said, spit that out. And he spit it out in my hand. Among other things. I said, okay, now you can do business. He raised his hands and tears began to flow. And in just a little bit, he began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. Get rid of hindrances. Focus on the Lord. Amen. Okay, take God at His word, number four. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Exercise faith in God. Galatians 3:2 in the NIV says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Amen. Lord, I believe. I haven't received yet, but God, I believe. I don't understand it, but I believe. You will never understand everything there is to know about it. But Lord, I believe. And God, if it's for me, I have told people time and again when they've come to wait on the Lord and to be a candidate before the Holy Spirit, and they were not filled with the Holy Spirit as I was so many times. Because sometimes people don't know and they don't understand and they've seen some bad stuff and they think, Lord, is this really what you want? Is this really you? Is this really what you have? And I've told him, I said, okay, here's what you do. You go home tonight, get in a back room, just you and God, and you talk to the Lord, and you say, Lord, there's a lot I don't understand here, but if this is you, I want what you have for me, and I surrender myself to you. And I tell him, just raise your hands and begin to praise the Lord right there in your room and see what happens. Amen. You see, you're a believer. You come in Jesus' name, which takes Satan out of the picture. Amen. I believe it's an intimate moment when we come to the Lord in prayer. Satan would like to snoop around and often tries to do it, but there is a place in prayer that you can get where the devil cannot come in on you. He is barred from coming in to where you and Jesus are loving on one another. Just love on Jesus and see what happens. God bless you. He will fill your heart today to overflowing. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. One Sunday morning, early 1980, a group of college kids showed up at Tahlequah First Assembly where I was a pastor. That morning, 9 university students received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in one service. A number of years ago, there was a seminar being conducted. There was a seminar being conducted in a large hotel complex in the state of Arkansas. They had these meeting rooms where they're divided off, you know, with these humongous sliding door things. This conference, the title of it was Why Speaking in Tongues is Not for Today. That was the title of that conference. On the other side of that sliding door, there was a group of Chi Alpha kids. The subject in that room was Why You Need the Baptism of the Holy Ghost. So on one side of the wall, they were being told it's not for today, but on the other side, there were about 15 or 20 university students being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm just about done. I better be. Many believe they aren't good enough to receive God's Holy Spirit. Think they've got to reach a certain pinnacle of holiness before God will do anything in their lives. Good news is the Holy Ghost comes to us to make us better than we could ever be without him. He absolutely does that. One day, I keep referring to Tahlequah because, ladies and gentlemen, I've never experienced anything like those 8 years in that church. 3.5 years. 3.5 years, every service, somebody was saved. And most of the time, several people received the baptism. It was a Holy Ghost revival that hit Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I refer to that, and I refer to another incident. A good Methodist brother came to my office one day. A man of God, a beautiful Christian man of God. He sat out in my office, began to talk and began to weep. He said, my son is away from God. He's messed his life. He's messing his life up. He said, preacher, can we just pray? And so me and that good Methodist lay person, we just turned around there to the van where we're sitting, and we just began to pray and seek God. The Holy Spirit moved in a wonderful way in our hearts. It wasn't a week or two after that till one day I looked up as I was standing at the pulpit. I looked up, and there was a man that looked more like a, I mean, he was a giant of a man. Leather jacket, dew cap, the whole 9 yards, come walking in. I had met him once. It was this man's son. He sat right off back over here in the audience. That morning as I was preaching, God got a hold of him. And at his seat, while I was preaching, he committed his heart to Jesus and was saved. But then it gets better. It even gets better than that. Right there during the service, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And the amazing thing about it was, none of this disrupted the message or the service in any way. You do not have to make a lot of racket. It's good. I enjoy making racket. But let me tell you what, it's not about racket. It's about relationship. Can you say amen? It's about relationship. And he humbled himself before God, and God baptized him. I came back to shake his hand after it was over with, and he was beaming from ear to ear. And he said, "Preacher, you're not going to believe what happened to me. I sat in here, I gave my heart to Jesus, and then God baptized me. The Holy right here, preacher. You're not going to believe this." I said, "Yeah, I believe it. I can believe it. I can believe it. If any man or woman thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now, we are not at some great high pinnacle of emotional whatever right now. Okay. But you don't have to be if you got faith. If you're hungry. If you're willing to open up, let God do something in your life. God is in this house to do a work. I can't do a work. There isn't anybody here that can do a work. Except the Holy Ghost is here to do a work. Jesus is the baptizer. Bow with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name today, God, to take this message. I pray that the Spirit of God would minister in a special way to hearts and lives in this house now, Lord. If I know my heart at all, Lord, I've tried to obey you today. And I ask in Jesus' name, God, that you will honor the word and honor, Lord, the hearts of people who have come here hungry for you today. In Christ's name, amen and amen.